always say. We've got a lot of supports and a lot of things that's wrapped around students. And I benefited that many, many years ago as a student. So I think
you guys do an amazing job.
Well, it's because of you all and your input that you give us. So it's a total team effort. So appreciative of what you all do. So I think with that being said, it's 10:06, and we'll go ahead and officially get started. We do have a quorum, Kathy. There's two members here. Mm-hmm. And in the past, board members, if you all would like, usually if a person didn't show up, that's who you all nominated, who has to report to the board meeting coming up. So that's up to you two. Once we go through this, or Craig, report to the board, and we'll do that at the end. So we do really appreciate your time, value it so much. The input that you give us is extremely valuable. It's part of this process. And really, Bobby and Sharon, this is a year-long process. We don't look at this as a let's do this a month before curriculum comes. Sarah and Debbie, they're the as many people call them, they're the workhorses of the college. They are where the rubber meets the road. They are deep in the trenches working with faculty each and every day on many aspects, obviously including curriculum. So these discussions go on year round. This is just the culmination, or coming close to the culmination of that. Once the full board gives their approval, then we can start marketing things and speaking of different changes. But we don't do anything until the full board votes on it, and it goes into this upcoming academic year's calendar. But Sarah and Debbie and our faculty, just on behalf of them, they worked really hard. We're very in tune with our local economy, our local businesses, our transfer partners that we have. And Sarah and Debbie have done a wonderful job this year managing curriculum and getting that ready. So we're excited to show this to you, get input from you on how to make it better. That's what we're here for. So at this time, if okay with you, Bobby and Sharon, I'm going to turn it over to Debbie Bond, and she's going to go through each one step by step, and then she'll turn it over to Sarah. And please stop us as you have questions. Please stop us as we're going through here and ask questions. And I hope I can't see everybody now because we've shared screens, so I hope everybody's still on here. I see Bobby, but I don't see Sharon. Sharon, are you still on here?
I'm still here.
Great. But Debbie and Sarah will take over. Again, we appreciate their great work, and please stop us if you have questions so we can make this process even better. Debbie, please go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, Peter. And Sarah is going to be my controller of the screen. And the first thing that we have to propose is an IT full stack developer specialization. As you know, specializations vary from the parent IT program or any other program that has a specialization by 12 to 15 credits. This is being proposed by our IT department to meet some local needs of employers in the New River Valley. I did not know, and you may not be familiar with the term full stack developer. That is a person who develops client software and server software. They work on both the front end and the back end of computer technology to develop software and servers that employers can use. And if you've looked at any of the job openings in the New River Valley, you'll see a lot of full stack developer openings right now. So there are four courses that will be different from the parent information technology program. And those are the ITD 112, which is designing web page graphics, the ITD 132, which is structured query language, ITP 150, which is Python programming, and then the ITP 240, which is server-side programming. So Sarah, if you'll move to the track sheet, you can look at the different courses. There it is. And the semesters that those courses will be offered. Do you have any questions about the full stack developer?
John, I love it. That is spot on what our businesses need and want.
Yes, very good. You know, Jonathan Surratt is our new IT person. You all may have known Carlotta Eaton, who retired. And Jonathan is doing a tremendous job. He and Dave Fowler, and they have proposed this to meet industry needs. Hey, if there are no questions about that, no further questions, we'll move to the second one. Sarah, that's on page 24. Okay. We try to stay up to date with IT, and they do a wonderful job doing that. And we have found that the mobile app specialization is no longer one that is being sought after by our students. There are so many other areas that are coming into play. I know last year we proposed the cloud degree, and that started this fall. So what we need to do is, or what we are proposing to do, is to delete the mobile app specialization. We have not had any students graduate from that program in a while. It was very popular several years ago, but it's no longer being sought after. Sharon, did you have a question about that one?
Oh, I fully support the decision to discontinue.
Okay. Sarah, the next one is on 27, page 27. Because we are deleting the two-year degree, we also need to discontinue the Mobile Apps Career Studies Certificate. And if you'll go on down, Sarah, to the, there we go. This was a one-year certificate that fed into the two-year degree. So if we're not having the two-year degree, then of course we don't want students going into that one-year certificate. The next one is on page 30. Thank you, Sarah. The instrumentation and control automation, as you know, that is one of our very, very popular programs. We have a lot of graduates in instrumentation. That program has not been changed in many, many years, other than the course content being updated, as it should be each year. The faculty are proposing to add an ETR 180 course, which is an industrial networking course. And this course will take the place of ITE 115, which is a basic microcomputer applications course. Most of the students in instrumentation, they come into the program with knowledge of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and databases. Most students have that in, they start learning that in elementary and middle and high school. And so a better fit for those instrumentation students would be a database program or a networking program just for instrumentation. So that is what we're wanting to do, is to add ETR 180. And if you'll go on down to the track sheet, Sarah, I think the course is called Industrial Ethernet Networking. And the instrumentation faculty also, they hope to get one of our IT faculty to teach that. If not, the instrumentation faculty would teach that. When we put that course in and we deleted the IT 115 in the first semester, it caused us to have to move some of our courses around. So we've had to move things to various semesters. But the only change, the only true change, is deleting ITE 115 and adding ETR 180. Sarah, scroll down just a little bit to the footnotes. There were some changes to the footnotes that we had to make. There were some changes in some of the prerequisites at the VCCS level and so forth. So we made those changes. Are there any questions about the instrumentation?
Thank you for that explanation. Because I had a couple of notes. Well, to move something from the third semester to the first semester, that seemed like a big jump, but based on your explanation, Debbie, it makes perfect sense now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. All right. If there are no questions, we'll move on to the next one, and that's on page 46. We are proposing to add a couple of courses to the refrigeration and air conditioning career studies program, and to add a couple of courses, then we want to delete a couple. This program is very popular. I think we had 20 students this fall in beginning air conditioning, and so we're very pleased with how well this program is doing. And it hasn't been updated for a while as well. So we want to add AIR 126, Electrical and Control Systems, which covers troubleshooting. And it's a better fit than residential wiring. And then we want to add mechanisms, MEC 155, which gives the students more of a mechanical background. And Sarah, if you'll go on down, that will replace the National Electrical Code. So making these changes will give the students more refrigeration courses. It will give them two more credits in refrigeration and air conditioning, and sort of delete the courses that aren't quite as relevant to their needs. And it will still keep the certificate at 24 credits, which is very doable for students who are working full time. These courses are offered at night or online. And then the heat pumps course is offered in the summer, and the students are able to do that of the evening after their working hours. Are there any questions about the refrigeration and air conditioning?
Dr. Bond, I had a quick question on, just a general one on a number of these that are like the CSC, the Career Study Certificate programming.
Yes.
What if a student wants to start in January? Are those courses that are identified in the first semester available in spring term, or would they need to wait until the following fall to enter a certificate program like that?
In some of the programs, they would need to wait. However, especially in computer science and the programs that have a lot of students, the instrumentation program, they could start at any time. There would be something that would be offered, because some of the courses are offered both fall and spring. Now, refrigeration and air conditioning, they would come in the fall and get their AIR 121. then they would come in the spring and get AIR 122. So those students may be limited. They might not be able to start until the fall semester. However, ETR 113 right. and Safety 126 are offered every semester. So they could come and get something, but they might not be able to get those core air conditioning courses.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the next program is on page 54. And this is a new certificate that we want to add if accepted. It's a certificate in unmanned systems, your drone technology, and we already offer two courses in UMS. UMS 107 prepares the students to get their license from the FAA for drones, and UMS 177 prepares students to work on the drones, and it is drone repair. It's a drone repair course. These drone courses are currently in our two-year electronics degree. So we wanted to add a one-year certificate for students who want to just come and take some basic drone courses without having to take the two-year degree. Plus, if we offer a certificate in drone technology, we qualify for some collegiate training initiatives with the FAA, and we will qualify to receive help and resources from the FAA for students who want to pursue aviation careers. So we're adding this certificate, and then we hope we can become a part of that initiative that's in place right now to get those resources for our college and for our students. Now, this looks a little funny. The only thing that they might be able to get in a fall semester is ACDC fundamentals. However, this fall, we did offer a drone course. Unfortunately, it did not make, but they always make in the second semester. So when we offer these courses, we have to align them in the semester in which the two-year degrees have the courses. We can't splinter them out. So UMS 107, 177, and the ETR 203 are always taught in the spring. So that's why we have it broken down the way we do. As you know, we can't always offer every single course every semester because we would not have enough enrollment for it to make both semesters. Are there any questions on the Unmanned Systems Career Studies Certificate?
No, I thought that sounded exciting, and hopefully the collaboration with the FAA will work out.
Oh, yes, we're very excited. We could not participate in that collaboration unless we had a program. Even though we've been offering UMS courses for quite some time, we had to have a specified program that students could take. And another exciting thing about this, we are dual enrolling UMS 107 and 177 in some of our high schools. So, you know, maybe those students will be able to get these other two courses and get a certification right away when they come to New River. So we're excited about that. That is all for Business and Technologies. Thank you for your questions and your comments. And if there are no other questions for me, I will turn it over to Sarah.
Thank you, Debbie. And I may need you to help me with page numbers where I'm sharing my screen. I've lost my ability to look at the numbers. I had all of that up electronically, but
Okay, I'll find that,
okay.
Sarah.
Yeah, I'm going to go down. I think our next one is with our practical nursing programs. Let me just, I'm sorry if I'm...
It's 58, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. So this curriculum change is for our practical nursing certificate, and we do, just a little bit of background, we do have students who come to New River and they earn their practical nursing certificate first to practice as an LPN, and then later choose to go through a transition option into our ADN program to earn their RN license. So in our RN program, or ADN program, the degree program, we require students to take SDV 101, which is an orientation to health sciences. So it prepares new college students not only to be successful in college, but specifically in the health sciences field. And so what we're wanting to do this semester is make that SDV 101 a requirement for the practical nurses as well. We would still allow students who come to a decision to enter nursing later to use their SDV 100 requirement, which is a requirement in all of our degrees and certificates. But this would allow students who know they're going into the nursing field to go ahead and take the SDV 101 as part of their curriculum in the practical nursing program. So if they transition into the associate degree nursing program to get their RN, they'll have that requirement already. And then, of course, they'll be better prepared to just to be nurses if they've taken that orientation to health sciences course and will be more successful in their nursing classes. So we are proposing that change in the practical nursing program. Any questions about that? And you can see, I think, with the track sheet, we've just made that substitution. And again, students, if they have the SDV 100 course, they can still use it, but we would just put the preference out there for them to have the SDV 101.
Thanks for clarifying that, Sarah, because I was kind of curious because it said you were adding the SDV 101 or, in parentheses, the SDV 100, which I couldn't understand if you were then deleting it. So it's those students that have already previously taken it. The other note that I had on that one, do you have any other SDV courses that are tied to particular curricular programs, like this one is to the health sciences? Are there any others that are like to STEM areas or things like that?
That's a great question, Bobby. At New River, we don't offer any variations of the SDV for other fields. Peter, I'd have to look at the master course file. I don't know that others exist that are specific to career areas outside of this health sciences course. Do you know, Peter, right off if there are others?
There are not many, Sarah. There may be one for the STEM field, Bobby, but these two are predominantly the ones used, Bobby, as you well know, especially the SDV 100. But we don't... The change in nursing was a result, and I believe this course was actually created, Sarah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was in the master course file. Bobby, we did a statewide curriculum revision for the nursing program and aligned with Board of Nursing requirements, and this was a strong emphasis to have this. So we may, Bobby, my point is we may see others come about after this. Like if there's not one in the STEM field, which I don't think there is, then there very well may be as we move down the road. This may be a new trend that we're going through in the BCCA.
Yeah, I think right now, so this is a common curriculum across the state, and engineering and education are also working on perhaps a common curriculum statewide in the BCCS. So I think Peter's right, we may see one come up for engineering or for education out of that process.
And yeah, Sarah,
excuse me, go ahead.
Hey.
And Bobby, I will, while Sarah's doing some of the others, I'll look really quick on the master course file and see if they can say.
Oh,
yeah, I know, not at the certificate level, but in transfer programming. I think NOVA has some. I think they may have a general STEM one, but I think they also had a like an orientation or introduction to biomedical sciences. And I know in speaking, and this has been several years ago, and they may not have continued offering it, but they found by offering that orientation in the students' first semester, it either, one, oftentimes excited them that this is what they wanted to do and pursue the associate degree, transfer associate degree, or because they brought in a lot of guest speakers and things like that in the orientation, it had some students say, whoa, this is, you know, this isn't what I was thinking I was getting. Is this what this is going to be, or these are the opportunities? So I was just curious if there were other disciplines, and there used to be, like, the old orientation, it was a 2-credit to education, that a lot of students found the same thing because they had to go out into school settings and found that when I was working at Piedmont, I had a student that took it, and she did some observation for about 3 weeks and came back and told me, could you please change me to an accounting major? I can't stand this all. So it was just a curious thought, but thanks for your information.
Really quickly, Sarah, they revise, I believe they revise this, if I remember correctly. And Bobby, they have opened up SDV 101 to be an much like what you're saying, an orientation to any specific discipline. Mm-hmm. So you could see an SDV 101 orientation to IT, SDV 101 orientation to instrumentation. So, and I could see more of those coming for the various reasons you were giving. I think it's a good fit for us if the faculty see that it, you know, see if it works for them and has a good fit for their programs.
Well, thank you.
Sarah, I also want to compliment you guys on doing that, because if we can save students money by allowing them to have that course up front and not having to take it later once they've made the decision, I just think we're doing a real economic service to students.
Thank you. Okay. And we'll go to the next one if there's no other question. What's it? Do you have the page number of that one?
61.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and the next change is with, we have two here that go together. They're with our AANS engineering degree and then our AANS engineering computer science specialization that's in that degree. And these changes predominantly relate to some curriculum development that is happening across the state in the VCCS. And historically, we've had the individual community colleges have had different fundamental or introductory engineering courses, and they've been developed over time to match regional four-year expectations. So New River had some that matched what Virginia Tech needed, and other colleges like VCU and others had, in Northern Virginia, had some courses that matched their regional four-year colleges. So over the last couple of years, engineering faculty from both the community colleges and the four-year institutions have been collaborating to develop, revise the curriculum and develop two standard introductory or fundamental engineering courses. And those are EGR 121 and 122. Those courses are developed and ready. So what the engineering programs across the community colleges are doing are implementing those two classes as their foundational classes. So you'll see on our track sheet and on the curriculum proposal, we are adding 121 and EGR 122 to replace EGR 120. In EGR 115. There is a credit change in that process. EGR 15 was a 2-credit class, and its replacement, EGR 122, is a 3-credit class. The actual content differences here are pretty minimal. The two courses that New River had been teaching, that content aligns really well with the 121 and 122. So I think what we see here is more of a course number change, and the content is still pretty much similar. There's only some minor changes. And then you will also see that we are removing what used to be an open social science elective and replacing it specifically with a history elective. And I'm going to pause here and give a little bit of background, because we're going to see this come up in some of these changes with the social science and humanities come up in a lot of the transfer degrees. All of the transfer degrees are actually included. So let me give a little bit of background. The Virginia Community College system right now is working in collaboration with CHEV and the public four-year colleges and universities across the state, and some private institutions as well, to improve transfer for Virginia's college students. And the main goal of that is to look at the courses that are being offered in the community college, talk with faculty at the four-year, and make sure that what we're teaching transfers as an equivalent or transfers for general education credit. And this would prevent students from accumulating a lot of courses in the community college system as dual enrolled students or as on-campus students that only transfer as electives, when we know when they get to the four-year institution that bucket for electives is really small. So they may transfer with, you know, 15, 21 elective credits from their community college experience, but only need maybe 6 credits of electives to fulfill their degree at the university or the college. So we're really trying to improve that so students don't, what we call it, kind of lose those college credits in the transfer process. And some of this work has led to some changes in the Virginia Community College Policy Table 5.1. And that policy table lays out the minimum requirements for all of our degrees in the Virginia Community College system. And there's a change, and I'm going to go ahead and scroll down and I'll pull that table up. And there's been a recent change in that table, and we are adjusting our degrees to be in compliance with that. So I'm going to scroll down and see if I can find that, and I'll come back up to this engineering degree. Give me just a second. Oops, I've got a lot in here. Those were the course plans for the engineering classes. Oh goodness. I think it's the next page. No, it's not on this. It's on the next. Lynn, do you see a page number where we may have that table?
Try 140.
140. I know it's on one of those. Okay, thanks. So here we go. This is a copy of the new policy from the VCCS. And I want to just draw your attention to some footnotes. All of our transfer degrees at New River are AANS degrees. And you can see that they require, at a minimum, 6 credits of humanities, fine arts, and literature, and 6 credits of behavioral or social sciences. And we have some new footnotes. So we can see for the humanities, the 2 courses that students take to meet that humanities elective cannot be from the same discipline. So they cannot take 2 literature, they cannot take 2 art, they have to be from 2 different areas. And then footnote D now says that one of the courses in the social behavioral sciences must be a history course, and the second one cannot be a history course. So we've had to go through and look at footnotes and just do some clarification on all of our transfer degrees that had open electives for humanities and social sciences to put some restrictions there to make sure that our degrees are in compliance with this policy. I'm going to pause there. Do you have any questions about the policy itself? Okay.
I have a quick one, Sarah. Because I noticed that when it came to all the transfer degrees, and the one was a little different, I think that you, a student in the education curriculum had to take the History 121 and the History 122. Mm-hmm. And I know at one point a number of four-year institutions, their U.S. history was a standalone one-semester course. And so for a student to get credit for that one semester of U.S. history at the four-year institution, they had to take the History 121 mm-hmm. and 122. And then what happened is they got the 3 credits, and they didn't lose that other 3 credits, but they put it in that bucket like you talked about earlier of Gen Ed. credits or elective credits, that type of thing, that they in the long run may have been able to use or maybe not. So I was wondering if that's still the case, if that's why the 122 was added to the education, so mm-hmm. they get U.S. history, not just up to the Civil War period, but from Civil War to present, right. which is what's covered in the 122. And if so, has the VCCS had any discussion to do the U.S. history as a one semester course as opposed to a two?
So those are great questions, Bobby. And right now there is a team of faculty from four-year institutions and the community colleges working on an education curriculum for the community college system. And so I think they've made some progress. The education requirements across the public universities look quite different from one another. And so I think they're has been a lot of conversation about what the minimum requirements in the VCCS education degree should look like. And this is specifically for like K through eight, right? So from, and they're working on that. And I think as those conversations continue and as they look at what would be the ideal curriculum for the community college to prepare students for transfer, coming out of that may be a course like what you're talking about, one history course that surveys the full American history that would meet that need, since students are required to have one history, but the other social science cannot be a history now in the degree. So I think we might be moving that direction, but that work with the, and it's really fascinating work. And I think the expectation was that the community college faculty and the faculty at the 4 years may not agree on much, but they're agreeing on quite a bit, and it's they're productive conversations, and I think we'll make some improvements to the curricula, transfer curricula across the board as a result of that. But so I think I think it's yet to be determined. Those conversations are happening, and what you're describing could be an outcome of that as they continue to figure out the best way.
Well, I wish everybody luck with that. That's great progress.
I think George Mason University has been a key four-year institution in helping pull together some of the other 4 years to make that work. Lynn, I'm going to need your help. Can you get me back to the engineering one? I just wanted to give that background on the
85.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Lynn. Okay.
It's okay.
So you'll see the same changes of what I showed you in the engineering, computer science. We have the same changes in our engine, just our AANS engineering without the computer science specialization. We have the two changes in the EGR fundamentals, and we have that history course. And again, that's to put students to make sure they meet that history requirement. They have another social science elective that they can choose, but we want to make sure that one of those social sciences is history, so we just made the history a requirement. I'm going to come down to that track sheet. So you can see where we've replaced the engineering courses, and where we've taken one of the social science electives and replaced it specifically with a history to come in compliance with Table 5.1. In the engineering, just the AANS engineering, we also have some footnote changes. Geology used to be a requirement in one of the mining engineering programs at Virginia Tech, and they've taken that out. So we've removed that from the list of technical electives. And our construction engineering, some of the building construction and construction programs at Virginia Tech are now requiring economics in their program. So we've added that to the list of technical electives. And again, that list of technical electives just allows our engineering students to choose the courses that make the most sense for the major they're pursuing when they transfer. It gives them some options and some flexibility. So there's any questions about the engineering changes?
Sarah, I hate to belabor the whole like history thing or whatever, mm-hmm. But the only history that students can take, and not talking about the education, mm-hmm. but I think it was consistent through the other transfer curricula that was presented, would be either semester of Western Civ or either semester of history. Now, if you offer another history course at New River with a permanent number, can they take that where it just says one of the courses must be a history in that 5.1 chart, or does it have to be one of the four that's on your checklist?
So I think we do have some other history courses that are more specific, like history of World War II. I think we have a Vietnam history course, and we typically don't include those as an option on, we could probably do a substitution if a student wanted to take that. I don't think that the BCCS table specifies that it has to be kind of a history of a time period like this. I think the challenge we run into is sometimes those classes, we offer those classes irregularly and sometimes with low enrollment. So I think just to make sure the students have an option and the course, we offer these four courses every semester, multiple sections. So I think if a student had a particular interest in a specific history course to meet that history requirement, we could do a substitution and allow that student to take it without any problem.
Okay. That makes sense, and that just rises out of a number of years of advising that maybe I wouldn't have thought of it, but I can guarantee you that a student would think of it that, hey, it just says a three-credit history course, you know, why doesn't this one count? So if it's through the process of a substitution, I think that makes great sense. So
especially if they'd taken it prior and then made a, you know, and we were trying to make it fit so they to exactly. reduce the number of classes they have to take. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then what's our next one, Lynn?
97.
Okay, thank you. So this is our general studies fine arts specialization, and these are students looking to transfer into an art major at local regional universities. And I think the change here, we didn't have to do much with the changes in the humanities, like actually course changes. We just had to add some footnotes to come into compliance with Table 5.1. But this change is at the recommendation of our art faculty. Many of the major art majors have a requirement for a 3D art experience. And we have had students taking our Fundamentals of Design 2, which is Art 132. And we're finding that a lot of students were requesting to substitute Art 231, which is a sculpture class, because it met the 3D media requirement at the four-year university. So rather than continuing to do that substitution, we've just offered that as an option to meet the 3D requirement there for the students. So that's why you see us adding that sculpture class as an option. And then on this one too, we've added, I'm gonna scroll down to the track sheet. We've just added some footnotes. You'll see this on a lot of the curriculum that we're proposing, where we are just clarifying that when students choose from the social science electives, one of the two social science, I'm looking at it for footnote four here, one of the social science courses cannot be a history course. In our curriculum at New River, we require all students to take two histories. That's just part of our local requirements at the college. So if they take, so they're meeting the history requirement in Table 5.1. So we just want to make sure that when they meet the social science electives in semesters 3 and 4, that they can take another history class if they would like there, because they have more freedom in this curriculum. But one of those cannot be a history, just by Table 5.1. Only, you know, one of the 6 credits has to be a history. The other credit has to be something else. So we just added a footnote there to clarify that one of those two social science electives cannot be a history. Also at New River, with the humanities electives, all of our degrees require one of the electives to be a literature course. The humanities, one of the three credits of the 6 credits of humanities be a literature course. So for the other, what you'll see in some of the other curricula is when we have the humanities elective, we've just clarified that it can't be another literature course. It has to be another humanities course. That we don't really see that in this one because they have so many art classes that meet that humanities requirement. They already have it built in, that they have a literature and an art. Any questions about that one?
I have a quick question, and I tried to look back on what's on the screen right now. No, if you scroll back.
Down, yes.
Down, yeah. What is the IRA and the IR? What do those stand for? I couldn't see it.
Yeah. That's a good question. So these are, we're keeping track to make sure that all of our curricula meet the general education requirements of the college, which come from the VCCS and are also part of our accreditation standards. So what we look for is, in the left column, this is the gen ed requirement. They recognize the value of diverse feelings and perspectives. And we keep track of what courses that particular gen ed objective is included, where it's included in their curriculum. And the I means that it is introduced in that course. The R means that it is reinforced and that objective is reinforced some way in that course. And the A means that it's actually assessed in that course. So there's an assignment, test questions, projects that would actually assess the student's achievement of that learning outcome. And so these matrices for each of the curriculum just help us map to make sure that somewhere in that curriculum, all of these gen ed competencies or objectives are being introduced, reinforced, and assessed.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we're always working on that and trying to increase the exposure across the board as we look at our courses. Leanne, what's our next one?
110.
This is our general studies degree. And again, no course changes, but we do have just some footnote changes to clarify that one of the social science courses must be a history and that the second one cannot be a history, and that one of the humanities cannot be a literature course. So we'll just, on the track sheet, we just have that in the footnotes. But no changes to the actual courses, just clarification on when they're choosing their electives, what they can choose. Any questions about that one? Okay, Leanne, what's the next one? I'm sorry, Leanne. 129. Okay, so this is our general studies computer science, our non-Virginia Tech computer science one. And again, no changes to the actual curriculum itself, but just some clarification in the footnotes to come into compliance with Table 5.1. Okay, so it's the same thing that we've been seeing. And then Lynn, what's the next one?
146.
So this is our specialization in visual communication design. And again, no courses affected in the curriculum, but just some footnote adjustments to come into compliance with Table 5.1. Okay, Lynn, and our next one?
165.
Same thing here. This is our liberal arts AANS degree. No changes to the curriculum itself, but we've had to revise the footnotes just to make sure we're in compliance with Table 5.1.
You dream about Table 5.1?
I do. Table 5.1, I see it without even looking at it in my dreams at night. Lynn, what about you? What's the next one?
182.
Okay. This is our AANS science degree, same thing, no changes to the curriculum itself, just some clarification about options for humanities and social science requirements. And I think, is the next one education, Lynn?
Yeah, it's 202.
Okay. This one is a little bit more involved. So this is our AANS in education. And Bobby, you may remember that last year we actually took out the History 122 as a requirement, and this year we're putting it back in. We're constantly working to make sure that our curriculum aligns with what's happening at the four-year institutions. The majority of our students who graduate with an AANS education degree transfer to Radford University to earn their education. It's about 70% of our students.
Yeah,
some others go to Liberty University, some to ODU. But we work diligently to try to make sure that we're preparing our students to transfer to these schools. And so there are some changes in the curriculum. Most of these are in response to what's happening at Radford University, but these changes also work for students who might transfer to Liberty, ODU, or other institutions. So what we see here is we're removing, I'm going to go down to the track sheet. Because of some changes in the curriculum at Radford University, we are removing Political Science 135. And putting History 122 back in place of it. And I think Bobby, that's what you were speaking of earlier. The students need that full. We're fine, you know, the RU's gone back to they need that 121 and the 122 to get credit for that. So we put that back in the curriculum. The PLS 135 is no longer a requirement at Radford University for the students going into education, but we do have that on our, we have one elective. So if ODU or Liberty or a university did need that course as a requirement, students could still take it. They would just take it as their elective. And we've also taken out Econ 201. Again, that's no longer, that was a requirement in RU's education degree. And it no longer is. If students find they need it, they could take it as an elective, as their elective course. And then we're also finding, and this is going to probably show up across the board as we move forward the next couple of years, that many of the 4 years do not want students to have sequential sciences unless they're required for a specific major. They would rather them have a lab science from two different fields. And so that's true at Radford University, and this meets Liberty, ODU, and other education programs. It fits with them as well. So students are, we've taken out the Bio 102 as the second, we require it in Bio 101. And for the second lab science, rather than having Bio 102, students can take Chemistry 111 or Geology 105 as their choice there to give them the two different lab sciences, and that again prepares them for transfer. This elective used to have list some specific courses that students could take, and we've changed that just to an open elective. What we're finding is if there's enough variance across the universities and what they're requiring, that it's better for us to let students choose whatever course makes the most sense for the university to which they're transferring. So we've just made that elective open, but they can take political science, econ, whatever they may need to meet the requirements of the four-year institution. And with this particular, because we have social sciences and history courses, students are in compliance with Table 5.1, they're required to have a literature course and a music or art course. And so we've already, that's already built into this curriculum, so we did not have to change footnotes on this particular degree. Any questions about this one? We would do better.
Okay, whenever I get off
the only note that I had on this one is the math prerequisite for the Bio 101, Chem 101, and Geology 105 the same?
Okay, it is. It is. Geology 105, I do not think, has a math placement requirement. For Bio 101, currently the math placement is just developmental units 1 through 3. So if students are able to take one, if they've completed 154, they will have the method prereqs for Bio 101 or the placement for Bio 101. Chemistry 111 doesn't have a specific math course placement either, but it requires on our placement test, our current placement test, students to have placed out of the first nine
the
units of developmental.
Working.
So if they're
not since the water was off,
if they do that, they're able to take 111. If they don't have that math placement, they probably will take Geology 105, which doesn't have it. Having said that, Bobby, we're in the process of doing a major change to our developmental education in the BCCS. We are New River's in phase two of something called direct enrollment, where students will be placed in their math and English classes based on one of several measures, most likely their high school GPA. And if they're 5 years out of